It's always great to welcome on a friend of the show. He is Tim Fitzgerald. You know him best from Go Power Cat covering Kansas State, but they've also got some Big 12 programming now under their umbrella. Big 12 Insiders, a great place to find those guys. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. And Tim, my attitude is this. We're all helping each other out here. It's not a zero-sum game. I think this is the best part of this business, making friends, pushing great content. I know you guys do that. I wouldn't push crappy content, but I know you guys are doing great content there.
Yeah. I mean, I think any of us who are trying to create Big 12 stuff, you know, whether that's Locked On or whomever is doing the Big 12 stuff, there's about, you know, three or four of us now that are doing conference-wide things. And I think it really promotes the conference and, you know, it lifts all the ships together. And I think it's been really good. Well, we're still growing our channel, but it is going to be really effective in the fall to have that.
It is. And I'm pumped for what you guys can do. And of course, at Heartland College Sports, as you're joining the channel, joining the show, make sure you're subscribing and hitting that thumbs up button as well below the video. Well, I wanted to get you on, Tim, because it was an interesting handful of days last week. There really a 12-hour window in K-State world where there was some thought that Jerome Tang might be interested in the Arkansas job. I never bought it. It didn't feel like a right fit. I feel like he's in the right place. How much of that was really legitimate, or was it Jerome Tang maybe just toying with his guys there in Manhattan, most notably President Richard Linton? Some may call him Dick.
I think it was, you know, legitimate. Arkansas says they never offered him the job, which you don't technically do until you know the answer is yes, but that you lay out what everything will be if you want to take the job. It's kind of semantics that crack me up. But I think you needed to go through this exercise because of everything that happened. And you needed to look at another really viable job, high-paying job. It would have paid more from what we've heard about the offer. And he needed to examine it and decide whether he really was still invested in Kansas State after everything went on. His answer was yes, and he decided to stay. He got a little bump in salary and some NIL budget. And also, you know, it's kind of unrelated to this, but it's been working in the process of putting up some different guardrails so the same situation can't occur again with the president just retroactively removing someone from a roster. There's now more of a process for that.
Is that something that, I mean, it seemed to really just bother him all season and it kind of never ended. It would end, but then somebody would say something about it, so it wouldn't end. It was kind of this awkward situation that seemed to linger around this team all season.
Yeah.
Does it feel like a lost season as a result because of how it went down?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, it really does. I mean, because if you're the coach, how do you not stare at your team thinking, I was supposed to have a 6'10 athlete on the wing and now I don't? You know, it probably bugged him every day.
Yeah.
But now I think he can move on. He's going to rebuild this team. He's got one transfer portal commitment, might be closing in on two. They've got a total of five openings. So, they got four to go and we'll see what he brings in. But from what I'm hearing, the NIL budget's strong enough to really be competitive at a national level.
Well, that's a good sign, step in the right direction. When you look at the football side of things right now, I mean, we're kind of in this calm before the storm. Transfer portal opens up next week, and there's a lot of chatter that this could be the most chaotic, crazy transfer portal we've ever seen. And no one knows what's coming, but it could be just blow all of our minds. Yeah. What are you hearing, and how does that maybe impact what we're looking at Kansas State and then the Big 12 at large?
I think Kansas State's expecting a fairly calm situation with their roster. One, it's a really young roster, so nobody's lining up to steal the, you know, the red shirt sophomore that hasn't played many snaps. You know, and of course Avery Johnson is on the shopping list of many program, but I think his NIL is going to keep him here. And plus he loves Kansas State like Jerome Tang. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. So it's going to be a very interesting April 16th, I believe, is it next Tuesday when that portal opens. And we've been warned that it's going to be utter chaos because, remember, the court system has taken down most of the guardrails that, you know, surround the recruitment of other programs' players. Now it's pretty much a frenzy. These collectives and agents are contacting players that are on rosters about entering the portal, trying to basically recruit them into the portal. and shop them around. It's crazy what's happened with college athletics, but until the NCAA or college football as a whole or college athletics can figure out how to make something acceptable to the courts, and I've got news for them. They've got to let the student athletes have a bigger voice. That's why the courts keep shooting it down. They don't have representation in the rulemaking process. I think once they get that, it'll calm down. But, you know, as my friend Josh Pate pointed out, sometimes you need something shocking and appalling to happen to get the proper correction. If it's bit by bit, people just kind of acclimate to it. But if it just happens all at once, and he kind of feels like April 16th could be just utter chaos of players just transferring out of programs without warning and ending up other places, I think that'll get people's attention that something needs to be done.
Well, at this point, that's where I'm at. Like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. This trickle thing is not working for anybody. And if it does end up with something explosive or multiple explosive things happening, if the end result is finally the sport coming together and say, let's do something about this, I'm okay with that. So what does that look like? Is it unionization? What is it exactly, Tim?
I don't know if a union really works at the college level because, you know, a players association, you got some players there for, you know, 15 plus years.
Yeah.
There's just so much turnover in the college game. But I think trying to set up school level decisions, and then you have one representative that goes and, you know, votes on everything for the school. I think just having anything in place where the players get to voice their opinion and sign off on things, I think will be really good for the game. And that's, I believe, what the court system's looking for. And short of Congress doing something, and I think you and I agree that if it doesn't benefit them, I'm not sure Congress does anything anymore. So it's going to be a tough situation for a while until some new leadership or stronger leadership shows up.
How long is this model of asking fans, and I know a lot of it's paid by mega boosters, but asking fans who pay for tickets, concessions, parking, donations, how long is it sustainable to say to them, fork over more money to pay the players?
Yeah, look, I think this system's going to break because I don't care how wealthy you are. Usually wealthy people like to give money and have their name on something. I might have my name on a porta potty. That's kind of my, my budget. It's a lot of, that's probably a significant thing for to be named after me, but, just throwing money into a talent hole, you know, and like you buy this player and he didn't play much. He's really not effective. And you think, well, that was, I paid $500,000 to help get him. And now look what happened. I think eventually the donors are going to grow tired of this and say, you know, we want to go back to giving money to the university. And that's really where it's got to end up. The university needs to take over these collectives and just start paying the players. I've been opposed to that because I think a college education is of great value. You hear a lot of people complain about their college debt. Well, these players really aren't acquiring that debt. But now, you know, you've got rosters where players are making $30,000 on top of a free education and room and board, and you know, and the star players are making up to $1 million. It's insanity, Pete. It's not sustainable. You can't keep asking donors to give money, give money, give money when they're used to being able to give money and get something, or at least get a tax write off by going to the scholarship fund.
Yeah, that's a great point. And at least feel like, you know, the money's going to, like you say, a building, my name, whatever. They're going to 18, 19, 20-year-old kids who have zero loyalty to, unfortunately, the schools, the donors. They don't give a crap about these people. And I think the rich guys who aren't rich because they're dumb, generally, are going to wake up and say, enough's enough. I'm not getting fleeced like this anymore.
You know, when a kid comes out of high school and shops around for a school, they get five visits. The NCAA talks about lifting that limit and let them go to wherever they want. And they tour around, they make a conscious decision about, you know, where they want to attend school. And a year later, they jump in the portal and make a decision in 2 days that they're going to another school. It's just kind of funny how it's shaking out. But I don't think this is sustainable from a booster standpoint or a player coach standpoint. I know coaches are sick of it. You know, they develop, particularly if you're a developmental program, and it's going to take a couple of years for this kid to get on the field, and he puts in his couple of years and then hops in the portal, and you don't see any fruit of, you know, your work there. And it's it really has coaches in upheaval because it's just so difficult on their jobs now. They've got basically your NIL budget beats a salary cap.
Yeah.
And you don't have a general manager. In most places, the coach has got to oversee that. You got to decide who's getting what. It's insane. It's just too much.
And what does it mean? I mean, think about Kansas State. A lot of the Big 12 programs are not going to be the Ohio States or the Alabamas where they're just going to write a blank check. They're going to be more of the developmental programs where you take a three-star guy, you develop him, he becomes, you know, a potential NFL prospect, but you might not have him by the time he's NFL caliber, but you've built him to that point. What do you think it means for the conference? It could be good because they have their guys who know their systems, but it also could really hurt them down the road as the Big Ten and the SEC keep kind of growing the gap between the rest.
Yeah, and they're going to have even more money to do that. And that's really where the Big 12 is going to fall behind. I know that everyone's focused on that actual money that goes into the athletic budget and you know how difficult that is to compete. And I accept that. You always want more money to do things. But Kansas State has had one of the smallest budgets in the Big 12, athletic budgets, and they have competed with Texas and Oklahoma. So I don't think the budget necessarily drives all of the value of an athletic program. But the NIL, if you've got the resources to keep pumping more and more money into that, that makes a huge difference because that's going right to the players. And this is going to escalate so quickly. You know, if a school, an entire athletic department spread out over their all their sports is $10 million for NIL. I don't know what the numbers are, Pete, but let's say it's 10. Next year it'll be 12. And then someone will say, you know what, we're falling behind. Let's do 15 and 20 and then 30. You know, it's just going to start picking up steam and the numbers are going to be unsustainable for certainly Big 12 institutions, but even some of those in the Super Conference. And also with the backdrop of athletic directors suck at making budget to start with.
Yeah.
And now they're seeing money not coming to the department instead going to the collectives for NIL. And they'll probably have a lot of deficits in budgets all across college athletics.
Oh, that is so true. Tim Fitzgerald, Go Power Cats, and Big 12 Insiders joining us here on Heartland College Sports. Hit that thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel if you have not yet. Tim, let's look at the next 2.5 months in this league. It's going to be a very interesting time. Of course, OU Texas leave July 1. We got the four new schools, the Arizona schools, Utah and Colorado coming in July 1. We've been on this three-year journey knowing OU and Texas are finally gone. Where is your head at just emotionally thinking about these two schools, what they've done, how they've been a part of this league from day one, and now how they're finally going away after what has been a long 3 years? Where are you at?
I'm sad about Oklahoma. I mean, this is a, you know, a Big Eight school. This goes way back to, you know, 100 years or whatever. It makes me sad that so many of the Big Eight schools have kind of wandered into the, you know, different conferences. And a big reason for that is Texas. And this is kind of inevitable. Texas seems to blow up everything they touch. And they're going to have a hell of a time trying to do that to the SEC because they're not going to get their way. And that might make them even more difficult to handle. I'm not sad about Texas leaving. Texas almost killed this conference when they refused to let in Cincinnati and Louisville back when they added West Virginia and TCU. If the Big 12 had been able to do that, they would have been much more stable. But only the appearance of Brett Yormark saved them. And, you know, how proactive he's been attacking this issue. But this conference would be in a whole different world if Cincinnati and Louisville had been in the conference for 10 years. And now here we are with literally half the conference will be new within a two-year period. It goes from 8 remaining to 16 total. And this is what Texas always feared is going to happen to the Big 12 existing schools. You're going to lose control of the vote. And those 8 schools could vote to move the championship football game and get one team like, I don't know who to be, maybe a West Virginia to move it to Colorado or, you know, move it to Vegas or something like that. They're not going to have controlling votes over this. And I admire the Big 12 for admitting that, you know what, we don't need to have our way. We just all want to be rowing in the same direction because that has not been happening for a while.
Well, you're right. It hasn't been for a long time, really, since Texas showed up. And yep. I don't know how that's going to play out for them in the SEC, to your point. I think they're going to do what Texas has done for its entire existence. And, you know, I think they're going to be smacked in the face a little bit. And I'll like that. But, boy, I do miss Oklahoma. I will miss Oklahoma. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I will miss them for sure.
No, they were so unhappy with the 11 a.m. kickoffs in the Big 12. So they went to the SEC, which has them all the time. Because it's noon to them, for a lot of those schools. And Oklahoma just had a game moved to Friday night. You know, I mean, everything you complained about now is going to get a lot worse, but your money will be more. And that's really it's all about. It's not about student athletes. It's not about the fans. It's just about having more money to do more stuff and try to be better.
How concerned are you? The Big 12 is going to be unbelievable. I mean, we know there's going to be a handful of favorites, K-State, Oklahoma State, Arizona. You know, I can list four other teams that will also be in that mix. But does it hurt them that there isn't that Oklahoma, that Texas? Yeah. Or is it, hey, let's just embrace the chaos? What do you think on that front?
I mean, I think a lot of the national media is only able to judge a conference by names. They don't really delve into quality football. They just recite the names. I'm going to be fascinated to see this Big 12 preseason poll, that now that Texas and all those voters that went with Texas, Dallas market, Austin market, you know, Houston, San Antonio, Texas had such an enormous footprint in the media space that those polls often got slanted towards them. So now without those voters, I'll be really interested to see how the polls look, because it's going to be a much different conference and how it's made up and how it's perceived. But back to your point, not having a big name will be limiting. But I think the people that understand football and athletics will love the competitive nature of this conference. And I think Brett Yormark's doing a good job of kind of on the down low, quietly trying to attract the sports betting crowd, which is an enormous segment of the TV viewing and one that is mobile, that isn't tied to a team. I think the Big 12 is a very fun conference to bet on. I have the debts to prove that. That's the other side. It's also unpredictable, so maybe you don't, as a sports bettor, want to do that.
Well, and that leads me into, you know, being creative on the TV side. Friday night games are coming. I think it's the way of the future for this conference. I the purist in me hated it, Tim, and still hates it.
Yep.
But time is helping me embrace it. And I think if the Big 12 starts owning Friday nights, I think it's a great play. You're going to be going up against NBA regular season games in October and November. I say, you know what? Yeah. Why get stuck on ESPN Plus and FS2 if I can be prime time on Fox Sports or whatever? You saw last year that Oklahoma State Kansas State game did a big number.
Yep. And the fact that Fox pivoted and said, we're going all in on Friday. We just don't want a game. We want a game. We want some names. We want a good matchup. Because, you know, Friday night or even Thursday night has been a throwaway night quite often.
Yeah.
Particularly for ESPN, they'll just match up two teams. You're like, I really don't want to watch this game between Rutgers and, you know, whomever, Indiana. That's kind of what it's been. But Fox has come in and said, no, we're going shopping for the good games, and we're going to turn Friday night into exactly what we did with Big Noon kickoff and that 11 a.m. slot. They've really heard ESPN in that area. Now they're trying to do this. And because of what Fox is saying, now ESPN's like, well, we better schedule some better games. We better pick up some better inventory, or we're going to get killed in the ratings on Friday nights.
I mean, and it makes sense. What do you think the impact is on I know Kansas high school football is not Texas. It's not even Oklahoma in my experience, but what's the impact there for Kansas State fans, for the state?
Yeah, I hate it from that standpoint, but it's one of the things you just got to do now.
Yeah,
particularly for the Big 12, you got to find your place. Wherever you can stand center stage, you got to go there. And that's Friday night. But I do feel awful. If you got a home game, first of all, for the football programs involved, if you got a home game on Friday night, well, you just lost a recruiting weekend because those players are all playing.
Yeah.
I heaven forbid that there be a Friday night game going head to head with the local high school. And that's actually on course for that Arizona K-State Friday night game. I believe Manhattan High, totally spacing off who the opponent is, but it's a big time opponent, that they are at home that night. And a lot of us think, well, why don't you move your high school game to Saturday and try to put it in Bill Snyder Family Stadium? Because I think that'd be kind of cool. So we'll see how the high schools adjust to having their Friday nights encroached upon.
That would be very smart. Look at you thinking ahead there, Tim Fitzgerald. Always I like planning. That. I like that. Big 12 Mexico has been delayed.
See,
I'm not losing an ounce of sleep over this. I mean, I think Brett Yormark, you know, we both like Yormark a lot. I think you've been great for the conference. I'm not going to lose sleep over a home team losing a game for its small businesses to go play in Mexico. I don't get it. And I'm not upset it's going to be delayed, and I hope it never happens. What about you?
I love it, actually.
Really?
The logistics of it are sticky. And I think that arrived at Monterey, where the football game is supposed to be in the future, from what I'm told, has gotten very dangerous again. And so much is going on in Mexico that they need to get that sorted out before you want to send a bunch of drunken Iowa State fans to Mexico City. I don't even know how you say Busch Light in Spanish. But, you know, you want to make sure your fans are going to be safe. But I love it because there's no segment of this population growing faster, whether it's through immigration or just people that have settled in America, than Spanish language. In fact, I love that K-State does Spanish language broadcast now, because Western Kansas, which has traditionally been, you know, K-State student recruitment area, it's gone so much Spanish speaking. I think it's important for this conference to reach out. Brett Yormark sees Mexico because this conference borders Mexico from Arizona, you know, all the way through Texas, that he sees it as an area where if we can pick up more fans, more viewers, that's stronger for the conference. We're not going to switch any Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Texas fans to be Big 12 fans. But these are essentially newbies to the college football picture, which is growing in Mexico. And let's try to capture that audience.
Well, then why don't we do Field of Dreams, like, you know, what they've done with Major League Baseball. Go to Dodge City High and put a game there. There's a big Latino population in Dodge City. Go to the Panhandle of Texas. Go to these places. I mean, who's going to be more engaged in a game that's being played in Mexico City? Are we talking about Mexicans down there being fans, or Mexican Americans becoming fans because of that game being played in Mexico City?
I think he views it all in one picture, that just appealing to the Spanish speaking audience, making, you know, more and more games available to them and getting them invested in it, I think is his big picture. But I think it ran headlong into the reality of the relationship right now between the U.S. and Mexico and everything going on with the border and also the cartels. It's not a good time.
No, and you're right. I mean, the last thing you need from a PR perspective is, you know, missing Iowa State fans, Kansas State fans, whatever, down there going for a football game.
I know this. If some of my friends went missing, they'd give them back.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. Here, have them back.
Oh, ain't that the truth? He is Tim Fitzgerald. Go Powercat. Does a great job, of course, there. Big 12 Insiders, his show that you got to be checking out as well. We're at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Tim, we'll be doing this again soon, my friend. We always appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Pete. Great to talk to you, bud.
You bet. Hit that thumbs up below the video, subscribe to the channel, and make sure you're checking out what we've got for you at heartlandcollegesports.com. We'll talk to you soon. Go Big 12.